But for many people, it's not the most wonderful time of the year. We probably would be amazed at how many people for whom it's not a wonderful time of year. I've read a number of articles lately, including Presbyterians Today and some online resources, which talk about those for whom Christmas and the time leading up to Christmas and following it are other than wonderful times. And of course, there are lots of reasons for this. One of them is that people with whom we've shared Christmases in the past are no longer with us. One article calls this the empty chair, an empty chair in our celebrations. The chair is empty because someone we love, with whom we have celebrated Christmas in the past, has died during the year, or perhaps because someone is deployed with the military and cannot come home, or they live too far away. It's too expensive to come join the celebration. Maybe it's because someone who's usually a part of our celebration is in an addiction treatment center, and we're glad for them. We hope that this time it'll work, but there's an empty chair. Or perhaps they are lost to their addiction and we don't even know where they are. There are so many possible reasons that there will be an empty chair in our celebrations that year, but whatever the reasons, it is not, for some, the most wonderful time of the year. For some, it's not a wonderful time of the year because there will be with family, and there's a history of bad issues with the family, or somebody in the family is always difficult. So we really get stressed about the idea of getting together. Maybe the reason it's not the most wonderful time of the year for some of us is because of our expectations. Expectations which have been disappointed in the past. Someone has promised to be part of our celebration and didn't show up. Or perhaps we've thought we have purchased the perfect gift for someone and they don't seem to like it at all. Or maybe we still remember a time when we were young, when we had high, high hopes that we would get that one really, really special thing, and we never got it. The list of the possibilities of why statistics say that the incidence of depression, and here I'm talking about situational depression, not particularly clinical depression, why the incidence skyrockets during the holidays, that period between Thanksgiving and after New Year. Here we are on the third Sunday of Advent. It's kind of crept up on us here in this church this year because of our Forrest Gump series. We've had our candle lighting. We've heard and sung, O Come, Emmanuel. But we haven't had our traditional Advent scripture readings. Sometime John the Baptist shows up in every lectionary cycle during Advent. He will show up again very soon in the new year. But he didn't show up in our celebrations this year. And today our scripture readings don't seem as though they should be right before Christmas at all. They're all gloom and doom. So what is this season of Advent, and why are we celebrating it instead of leading up to Christmas by singing our favorite Christmas carols? First, I'll say that it's not Christmas yet. The season of Christmas starts with Christmas Eve, or actually Christmas Day, December 25th, and it goes for 12 days to Epiphany. And then we will sing lots of Christmas carols, will sing your favorites and probably some that aren't even your favorites. But back to Advent. It seems in Russ and my memory that every year, no matter where we've been, someone says, so why do we have to do Advent? I want to do Christmas carols. What are we supposed to be preparing for when Jesus was already born and I already have him in my heart? We never used to do Advent. Well, the Christian church didn't celebrate Christmas at all until the 4th century. The early church did not celebrate Christmas. About the 4th century, the Catholic Church, which was essentially the church back then, started celebrating a Christ Mass, a Christmas, and had a period of Advent, a period of preparation leading up to the celebration of Jesus' birth. In the early days of the Presbyterian Church, Christmas was not celebrated at all. John Calvin thought that was a papist activity. After all, it's called a Christ Mass. And Christmas didn't, in fact, become a major holiday in this country until what happened? Russ? In his huge department store in Philadelphia. The celebration of Christmas began in this country as a secular activity, a commercially driven activity to sell lots of stuff. Well, I remember celebrating Christmas Eve services at the Presbyterian Church in the suburbs of DC where I grew up. I served a church for almost 10 years in the coastal area of Delmarva, the Delmarva Peninsula, a town called Pocomoke City. And that church did not have Christmas Eve services, I thought, until the 1960s, the mid-60s. A predecessor of mine at that church had started the celebration, the Christmas Eve services, as merely a time to read the Lucan narrative and sing Christmas carols. I sent this sermon to a friend from that church, and she said, oh, we didn't start celebrating Christmas until the mid-80s. Mid-80s. At the time of the liturgical reform in the mid-60s, not only did the Catholic Church start doing their Mass in English, but the Protestant churches, particularly the Presbyterian Church, they also did a liturgical reform and started adopting some practices that come out of our deep Christian roots from the Catholic Church, including the celebration of Advent. So really, in my memory, the celebration of Advent goes back into the late 60s, early 70s. The Protestant leaders, Presbyterian leaders who were involved in this liturgical reform, understood that so much of our Christmas celebration was tied up in getting ready for the Christmas tree and gifts and decorating and parties, and that we didn't spend any time at all preparing our hearts to once again receive the Christ child into our lives. So they put this Advent celebration into the church year as a way to get us all to remember that not only are we celebrating the birth of Jesus long ago, we're celebrating the rebirth of Christ in our lives, and we're looking forward to that time when the kingdom of God is fulfilled. During Advent, we recognize that we are living in that in-between time. Theologians call it already but not yet. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. More than 2,000 years ago. Near can mean near physically, near can mean chronologically in time, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. When we look at what's happening in the world and in our own country and in our own communities, and what we're seeing and what we're hearing about and experiencing, well, it's not the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is near, but it doesn't feel that way to me. So this Advent, perhaps more than at any other time in my life, I yearn for the fulfilling of God's kingdom to be ushered in. Do you experience any of that yearning also? Our scripture reading this morning, with all its gloom and doom, remind us that it is into the darkness of this world, into the darkness of our lives, that Christ comes. The light of Christ breaks into that darkness and reminds us that in Him we find peace. In Him we find hope and joy and love. During the remaining days of this Advent season, let us prepare our hearts and minds, and indeed our very lives, to again experience the hope that the birth of the Savior brings. May we surround ourselves with the assurance that God's kingdom is near, even though it may not feel like it. May our yearning give way to an understanding that our time is not merely a time of patiently or impatiently waiting, but of actively living God's kingdom here on earth, where the hungry are fed, the poor and powerless are lifted up, where strangers are welcomed with heartfelt graciousness and hospitality. The peace that we feel in our hearts is shared with the world by the way we interact with those with whom we come in contact. When we feel ourselves burdened by that empty chair, when it seems as though the world around us is going crazy and spinning down into a time where everybody hates everybody else, may our understanding that Jesus is indeed in our midst give us hope and courage to meet each day with confidence, to treat everyone with respect and graciousness, to wrap ourselves in the invisible shield of God's love and acceptance, so that we know the peace which comes from God and share that peace with the world. Amen.